Hi, my name is Ben, and I'm a survivor of sexual assault. February 28, 1998 is a day that will stick with me for the rest of my life. It's the day that I was raped. It happened at an off-campus party during my freshman year of college. I don't remember much of that evening other than arriving and having a few drinks. My next memory is waking up on the floor of my dorm shower crying silently. But this isn't about my rape. It's about what I did afterwards. I found it difficult to talk with anyone about what had happened, partially because I didn't know what had happened, and also because I didn't know whom I could trust. I didn't know if anyone would believe me. After all, I didn't know much of what had happened, and I had never heard of a guy getting raped. Despite these doubts, I talked with a college counselor the next day. She was helpful, and she told me that I wasn't alone. She suggested that I go to the hospital and have a rape exam done, and she even drove me since I didn't have a car. Because it had been about 16 hours since the rape, and because I had showered, she suggested that I also bring my clothes to be tested. I got a blood test and a rape kit done. I don't remember the exam very well, but I remember that the nurse was very empathetic. I later found out that she was a SANE nurse, a sexual assault nurse examiner, who had received specific training on collecting evidence of sexual assault crimes and working with survivors of sexual assault. They didn't find any traces of DNA or semen, but they did find in my blood traces of rohypnol and gamma-hydroxybutyrate, or GHB. Both of these are drugs known to dampen sensation and negatively affect a person's memory. These drugs are commonly referred to as predatory drugs. My counselor suggested that I file a report with the police department. She acknowledged that the likelihood of finding out who raped me was small, but at least it would be documented. I wasn't sure how helpful this would be, but I figured that I may as well do it. Unfortunately, the police were less sympathetic than the nurse and my counselor had been. They didn't take my case seriously at all. The hardest part, I think, was when the officer who interviewed me didn't believe my story because, as he said it, guys don't get raped. Even with the presence of predatory drugs in my blood, he thought that I simply felt guilty after trying anal sex with another guy. Besides my counselor, who I saw once or twice a month, I really didn't have anyone to confide in. Our campus didn't have a strong sexual assault advocacy group, and the few people who were part of it did not seem very approachable or friendly. I had seen them at a rally, and it seemed that they believed that men caused rape, and I didn't think that they would agree with me that men had to be an integral part of the solution against sexual assault. So I relied primarily on the internet, finding online support groups for male survivors, and I also found the contact information for RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. I kept that number in my wallet, but didn't call them for several months. Instead, I ignored all of the emotions that I was feeling, and I pushed ahead with my schoolwork. It wasn't until I was home that summer that I called the hotline. I had been having nightmares, and I hadn't slept well in a couple of weeks, and it was beginning to affect my job and my social life. My friends were worrying about me, and my parents were beginning to wonder what was wrong. Despite our close connection, I couldn't bring myself to tell them. I didn't know how they would take the news that their son had been raped, and I didn't want to put any emotional stress on them. So late one Friday night, I called RAIN, and they put me in contact with a trained counselor who dealt a lot with male sexual assaults. That night, I talked for 3 hours about what had happened. I listened to the counselor as she told me about others who had endured similar situations. That's when I knew I wasn't alone, that there really were other guys that had been raped. Over the years, I've talked with many survivors, both men and women, and have found that the road to recovery varies a great deal. Some survivors see counselors, while others are able to continue their lives with relative ease. Many have lingering fears. They may panic if they encounter someone who looks, sounds, or smells like their attacker. Personally, I took to writing, something that I had done before, but without the sense of purpose that drives me now. In my writing, I examine my emotions and my mood, and I try to make sense of what has happened to me. I've written poetry and shared it with classmates, and I've done readings at sexual assault awareness events. But the biggest part of the healing process for me has been sharing my experience with others and raising awareness about the inhumanity of sexual assault. 2 years after my rape, I transferred to a different college and met one of the most inspirational people of my life, my peer education advisor. I had started working with a peer education group to educate people about alcohol and other drugs. I joined this program because I wanted to promote responsible drinking and spread the message about the potential consequences of drug use. For one of our journal assignments, we were asked to write about sexual assault and how we felt about the terms rape, sexual assault victim, and survivor. So I wrote about my experience, and I said that I didn't know whether I felt like a victim or a survivor because I didn't know if I had fully dealt with the trauma and all of my emotions. My advisor called me into his office, and he thanked me. He told me that he knew that I had the potential to change people's lives. I still didn't feel that I could. I mean, it's one thing to write in a personal journal about your experience. It's another thing entirely to become an agent for change in the violently and seemingly unsympathetic world. But he convinced me to take that next step and become the advocate for change. That summer, I had the opportunity to voice my story. Three friends, my advisor, and myself were performing skits about alcohol use, safe sex, and sexual assault for the girls at my former high school. One of the scripts we performed involved a male survivor of sexual assault. We had chosen it because there is only one woman in the group, and we didn't want her to always play the role of a victim. After the skit, one girl said that she didn't believe the script because guys couldn't get raped. Her misconception was the guys always wanted sex for the girl, and the gay guys just always wanted sex. I was in my audience at the time, and one of my friends looked over at me. He saw how I was affected by the statement. I calmly walked up to the front of the auditorium, grabbed the microphone, and sat down on the edge of the stage. I told him the guys could get raped by both men and women. I told him the rape wasn't just a women's issue because it affected both men and women. And I told him that I was a survivor of sexual assault. Then I told him my story. After the performance, I hung around a bit to answer individual questions and to visit with some of the students who had been freshmen when I graduated. One of the students that I didn't know, a sophomore, handed me a tightly folded piece of paper, and she asked me to read it later. Several students thanked me, and so did some of the teachers. On the car ride back, I opened the note and I read it. The girl had written about her own ongoing experience with sexual assault. She explained that her cousin had been raping her for the past year and that her parents didn't believe her. She said that she didn't feel that she could go to the police or to the teachers. So that night, I called her, and I listened to her as she cried and yelled and vented all of her anger that she had inside. I told her that she wasn't alone and that she was strong for having the courage to tell someone, a complete stranger no less. I told her about Rain and that she could get help. And finally, I told her the truth, that being a survivor wasn't easy, that the pain wouldn't just magically go away one day. And at the same time, I told her that being a survivor wasn't a curse that doomed her to a horrible, messed up adult life. Since then, I've heard stories of many men's and women's experience with sexual assault. Unfortunately, all too many of the stories that I've heard have come from friends and loved ones. I was a resident assistant for 2 years, and sexual assault was the topic of one of our staff meetings. Our hall director asked us to raise our hands if we were comfortable enough to tell the other 20 people in the room that we were survivors of sexual harassment or assault. 13 of us raised our hands, including 5 males. I'm no longer surprised to find out how prevalent sexual assault is. I've been wakened at 4 in the morning because a resident in my building was forced to have sex with someone, often his or her boyfriend or girlfriend. And I'm humbled when people who have just gone through a sexual assault find the courage to trust and confide in me. As I write this, I'm approaching the 7-year anniversary of my rape. Every day, I continue to use my experience to benefit others. I'm working on my master's degree in community health with the goal of working on college campuses to promote health and safety issues that affect young adults. I've often reflected on how I've changed since my rape, and like most survivors, I've wondered how my life would be if I hadn't been raped. But because of my experience and the people who have helped me through it, I've been able to turn the rape into a motivation to help others. At the same time, telling people that I'm a survivor of sexual assault hasn't gotten any easier. It took me about 3 years to tell my parents and my brother, and I still haven't told some of my closest friends. When I stand up in front of a group of students and talk about sexual assault, I still get butterflies in my stomach because part of me doesn't want to relive the experience. But when I talk about sexual assault with students, I tell them that men can be sexually assaulted, and that if they hadn't ever known a male survivor, they do now.